episode 113 of the TV Dudes, recorded December 29th, 2016. 2017 TV forecast. Feels like I have not seen you guys in a while.
I know, we skipped a week, and that's like, that's a long time for us.
It is. I missed your pretty faces. I gotta be honest.
Yeah, I do have a face for podcasting.
Yeah.
Me too.
I miss your voices. Let's be a little bit more honest here. But guys, I'm glad to be back because this is actually the last episode of this year that we're recording. And you know, I think we've done this over and over again where we say this is a terrible year. But hey, 2017 might not be that great of a year either.
2017 is going to be fantastic. Look at all we've got to look forward to in TV.
In TV.
Yes.
That's the point here because we're going to be looking at the calendar for 2017 and all of the interesting TV shows that are coming up, as well as some returning favorites. And we're excited at least about that.
There's going to be so much escapism for you next year.
Yep.
And you're going to want it.
I am super excited for 2017 television.
I'm just going to cut out that television part. And I'm going to put the other part on loop. But before we get into all of that, we are the TV Dudes. I'm Grant.
I'm Randy.
I'm Les.
And we have we got a little bit of stuff to go over here for you folks. First off, iTunes. So we generally ask that if you guys are listening to us, if you're liking what you're hearing, there are a couple ways you could support us if you want to keep this show going. And a good, easy way to do that is to go over to the iTunes store and give us a 5-star rating, write a review, and we will read that here on the show. That really does help us out. It actually bumps up our visibility each time we get a few of those. So if you guys could spare a few seconds and go do that, it's greatly appreciated.
You know what? It's coming to the end of the year. Time to make those resolutions. One of your resolutions could be, go post a 5-star review on iTunes of the TV Dudes.
Yeah.
It's easy. And then it's done. And then when you don't go to the gym or don't eat healthy, you can be like, well, at least I gave that review to the TV Dudes.
Yep.
Problem solved. Another way you guys can help us is to go to patreon.com. And there you guys can make a per episode pledge. Patreon.com/TV Dudes, to be exact. And in exchange for your very generous contribution, which, you know, could be $1 an episode, it could be a couple bucks an episode, we give you bonus exclusive content. And we have a couple people who, well, one person, EJ, actually upped their donation, and thank you so much, EJ. That's very generous of you. And Jesse Uyak is another person who just became a patron, so welcome aboard.
Yeah,
and we appreciate it. Over the break, I guess, not only did I use our social media to post about different shows that you could listen to on the Permanent Record network that we're on.
Permanent.
So I was kind of promoting
Permanent Record.
I was promoting all of these other shows, but I had good intentions. I'll say I had good intentions to post a new Patreon episode, like unlock one each day and post it. This did not happen.
No.
I dropped the ball there. I think I only released two of them, and one was our worst of, which, you know, it makes sense to release our worst of as a counterpart to the best of that we just did.
Yep.
And the other one was Celebrity Deaths, which I did following a good bout of Celebrity Deaths we had this year.
Timely.
If you want to hear, you know, Randy show a lot of compassion for celebrities and me shit on people grieving about stuff on social networks, yeah, go give that a listen. It's open to all of you guys. You can check it out. Go to our Facebook page. You'll see a post for it, or Twitter. And if that gives you a little taste of what you're getting, make a donation on patreon.com/TV Dudes. We appreciate all the support. Moving on, Randy.
Yeah.
It's done.
It's done.
We can say it.
Beach Cop Detectives has come to an end.
You can put a pin in it.
Yep.
We just got a thank you today from Kimberly Quinn, which I thought
was very nice. She was one of our last interviews, and she was very kind about the interview, and I think it went really well. We did our exit interview with Ted Griffin, which was great fun.
Mm-hmm.
And last couple episodes where we were super indulgent and talked about the behind the scenes, which I really enjoyed and hope people liked re-listening to.
Yeah. We also have the store open, and I think Nate will probably still be adding stuff here and there as he gets to it, but there are a bunch of prints that you can get, as well as a t-shirt. I was kind of an asshole with him. There's this t-shirt, the drawing he did of the truck.
Uh-huh.
I really liked the truck, and I cut it out, and then I had him keep changing things that he didn't want to change. I'm like, could you adjust this? Could you make this a little smaller? Could you move this over here? And he's like, I like it how it is. I'm like, but I want to buy one, and I want it very particular. So he was kind enough to do that, and I bought two shirts. But I think the shirts are up on the store as well.
Very cool.
So you guys can go check that out. It's just a cool truck that says Gomez Brothers on the side.
Mm-hmm. And nothing else, because Grant made it that way.
Yes, I don't believe in branding anything.
It's going to be spectacular, like the one time in the next 5 years when somebody walks up to you and says, that is a great shirt, and you know that that's your new best friend.
Right yeah, there. They're like, dude, I know that podcast.
Yep.
No one's going to say that. But thank you guys so much for all the support you guys gave us through that project. It was a fun little endeavor, Randy, and I appreciate you letting me join you on that.
Yeah. I loved getting to help out with it. I loved listening to all the other episodes. That's a great podcast.
So you're ready for the Simpsons podcast we're going to do in 2017, right?
No.
Episode by episode?
Episode by episode.
I have been thinking about other ones that we could do eventually.
How are you not broken? I'm broken. I don't want to do another one just yet. How are you ready to?
Not just yet. No.
You're thinking?
Maybe at the end of the year again.
I've got
when
some
it's
thoughts.
So super stressful.
I've got another favorite show that I'd love to tackle that's three
Donna
seasons
Reed.
In. What's that?
Is it Donna Reed? You're going to go
it's
episode by
Donna
episode
Reed.
To Donna Reed?
It's not Donna Reed.
Damn it.
We'll discuss that.
Yes.
Later.
It's not going to happen for a while.
Yeah. Well, we're going to go ahead and move on to listener questions. If you guys like us on Facebook and on Twitter, you guys can ask us questions once a week, and we'll try our best to answer those. Our first one comes to us from Kyle Volte, who says, hey, TV dudes, what are your TV resolutions for 2017?
Oh, TV resolutions. Interesting. I am resolving to catch up on at least a couple of those shows that have been waiting for me. Like, and I'm going to do it soon. Like, you know, how you, if, like I said, there's those gym resolutions, like you go to the gym in January and you stop going or you stop eating out in January. And then by February, you're at McDonald's for lunch again.
Yes.
My TV resolutions will all happen in January when I'm making them, but I intend to catch up on The Expanse, which is now on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
I intend to catch up on Shut-Eye, which is on Hulu, which I'm going to catch up on. I feel like there's a couple more shows. There's Fleabag I want to finish up. So there's some shows that I'm going to like. My resolution is to catch up on shows that have gotten past me.
It's binge month.
Binge month.
Aren't you also doing a movie challenge this month?
Yes.
You have a lot of watching to do.
Yes.
I'm guaranteeing that exercising isn't happening.
No, that's not happening. Yeah.
You got priorities, man.
What about you, Les? Do you have any particular resolutions?
I mean, similarly, I've got loose ends that I need to, series that I need to finish up or things that I was in the process of watching, then I had to stop and binge something else to discuss it with folks. Yeah, so I don't know beyond loose ends what resolutions I really have.
Are you resolving to finish watching the OA?
Yes.
We're going to be discussing that in a bit.
There's absolutely no way in hell I make it through the rest of the OA. No. My resolution in 2017 is to try to not proselytize people out of watching that show anymore. I think I've done my work there.
Wow. So my resolution would be not binging old shows I miss so much as getting back into the groove of watching TV like as regularly as I did, because TV kind of has dropped a little bit. I know I do a weekly TV podcast here.
Yeah, we're
doing
it right now.
I'm really like leaning on you guys to carry a lot of the discussion of a particular shows lately, because with projects I was doing, you know, Beach Cop Detectives and some other things I've been working on, I just was not prioritizing enough time to watch all of these shows. And it feels like I've been bombarded with a bunch of stuff and missed a bunch of things. So
you're behind on stuff.
I need to get back into that rhythm, man. I need to become a true couch potato again.
Yeah, I had honestly not really considered the volume of television watching involved in doing this when I started helping out with the podcast. I thought I watched a shitload of television.
Yeah.
It turns out you do. And somehow you upped it.
Yeah. And yet I suddenly felt inadequate at that. Like I would look up and go, oh no, wait, I actually have things to do Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and we podcast on Thursday. Oh, crap. I've got to watch like 12 episodes of a television show on Sunday.
It's a homework assignment.
Yes.
And it's best. One that you're doing, and I'm cheating off of your test.
I think we're both winning. It's great.
Zach McLernan says, with cancellation fever soon upon us, which shows that are on the fence do you want to see saved? And who do you think is doomed to be canceled / sacrificed to the Lord of Light so that Terriers can be resurrected?
Every show should be sacrificed if that's what it takes to bring Terriers back.
Every show?
Every single show.
Well, it looks like all shows are gone.
But Terriers.
Fargo and Game of Thrones are gone.
But Terriers is back.
I don't think it's worth it.
You know what? I thought you were a believer. I thought after we did a whole podcast that you were a believer. I guess I'm going to send you to the fire too, Grant.
Holy shit. I'm getting canceled.
I am most nervous about two shows. One is Pitch on Fox, which has been really entertaining and is not getting very good ratings. Although if that gets canceled, I won't be heartbroken. I'll just be like, it's kind of a bummer. I was enjoying it. I will be heartbroken if The Good Place doesn't get renewed.
I was going to say The Good Place would definitely be the network show I don't want to see disappear.
That's the one I'm the most worried about because the ratings aren't great. And Mike Schur, I mean, the thing is, Mike Schur shows always start out as like Brooklyn Nine-Nine wasn't doing great. Parks and Rec wasn't doing great. And they all got long runs. But we're a different type of NBC right now. And I don't know what that means for The Good Place.
The Walking Dead has dropped in numbers big time. Like
Robert
bigly.
Kirkman's not worried, though. Well, didn't he just do an interview where he feels it's going to run 5 more seasons or something?
You know, I was kind of thinking about this, and I wonder if part of the larger events going on in the world makes people less inclined to want to watch such a bleak and terrible, miserable
I'm
fucking
taking
show.
Notes. Like, I don't want to watch optimistic, shiny, happy crap now. I'm like, that's not happening. Stop showing me that. But Walking Dead, I'm like, and we can do that. And
where their corpses on my body. Got it.
I feel like the Negan season is really, really helpful for that. Like, what's working in the post-apocalypse?
Well, you're one of the rare few because it seems they're dropping.
Well, I don't
want to
watch the show.
Flies.
I just take notes.
Just once again, reading the Wikipedia.
Yes. Reading the Wikipedia and taking notes. Yep. Yes.
All right. Next question comes to us from Jedi Cypher, who says, what's up, dudes? I'm rewatching Lost, and I got to say, I'm still completely captivated by the pilot. It's so good.
It really is.
My question for you is this. Are there any pilots to shows you've seen and rewatched years later and still have great appreciation for? Thank you, and long live the TV, dudes.
Well, two things. Three things, actually. One thing. Does he mean the first episode of the show, or is he referring to Jeff Fahey's character?
He's just watching him.
He's just watching the pilot.
Just watching Fahey.
He's so
him.
Dreamy. Him and Greg Grunberg.
Yeah.
Just back and forth.
Yeah. There's a couple pilots on that
Jeff
show.
Jeff Fahey as McNulty in.
Two, there's a whole series dedicated to this kind of thing on the Permanent Record Network. Pilot watching, which I highly recommend
right.
to people. And, third, yes, there are lots of pilots like that. Cheers is the one I go to. Like, Cheers is an amazing pilot.
Really? You just rewatch it. You always talk about Cheers.
I love Cheers. And it's a fantastic pilot. It's funny. It gets all the characters across. It's got sort of a sweet, dramatic stinger at the end. It's really good.
What about you, Les?
I feel like so often pilots are just insanely awkward and were clearly shot like a year before the rest of the show. And they're like one actor's different. And the it's just not gelled yet.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of hard pressed to think of a
try
pilot
to think
episodes.
Of a comedy. Exactly. Comedies,
and that's why Cheers is so impressive because it's a rare comedy pilot. Like Frasier does not have a great pilot. 30 Rock has an abysmal pilot. Parks and Rec has a terrible
pilot.
That's
the whole first season. It was weird.
It's common. It's very common that comedies do not work in the first season or first, definitely not first episode.
I would say Pitch, the show that's on your bubble. I really enjoyed that pilot.
That was a great pilot.
It hooked me I kind of fired on all cylinders. All of it worked for me.
It tricked you into watching more.
The second episode, it pulled some of the same kind of treacle stuff, and it fell off for me very sharply, but for me, that kind of makes it an even more impressive pilot, because it managed to get me to watch a show that I really wasn't interested in watching before, because it's about baseball, and I don't give a shit. and then I sat through it, and I got all the way through the pilot and went, holy crap, that was Mark Paul Gosselaar.
Yeah.
That's a really great pilot.
That was the twist
that,
you remember.
That was the biggest twist.
That was the bigger twist.
No, it really was. That show was so good, I did not know that was
By the way,
Zach Morris.
I got another comedy pilot, and I believe Les will agree with me. You're the Worst. Great pilot.
That is a great pilot.
And also, going back a little ways, Breaking Bad has a phenomenal pilot.
Yes.
Breaking Bad is one that we've actually gone back and rewatched and like analyzed. Yeah. Like,
yes.
They did all this so great. Yeah. Friday Night Lights is one I still obsess over. I don't... It's so beautiful, and it tells the same story, or a lot of the same story as the movie, like how it just like resolves right at the end.
It's
so like powerful.
The pilot for 6 Feet Under, and I can't remember if it's all in the first episode of that or not, but when he finds his dad's secret apartment, and I can't remember if that's actually in the first episode or
it
not,
is.
Though. Is it?
I think it's like right at the end, and like he's talking to his dad, and they do all that. I didn't like the pilot as much because they did all that silly stuff. Like Alan Ball seemed to have this gimmick with... like these graphics of like how this person died and stuff, and they like it kept
that's
inputting
right.
that
they
right
were
into
doing
the pilot
that back then,
and then they dropped it for the rest of like episode two going forward. It was just gone.
Yep, you're right.
And I was like, good, because that was the one part that I thought was a little bit too kitschy for the rest of this. And you then he went and made True Blood and really went all kitschy with everything.
Two more. Justified has a great pilot.
Yes, it does.
And super rewatchable. And it's because essentially it is a short story adaptation. It's an adaptation of Fire in the Hole.
Yeah, I should say,
And so if there had been no Justified to go after it, that's just a great one-hour TV movie.
What are you going to say for your second one, Randy?
Orphan Black.
Oh.
You thought Real Rob, didn't you?
Yeah, that's the one
pilot.
I thought we
that's
dedicated
you
months
thought,
of
you
podcasting
thought I was talking
to.
About Real Rob.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. No, Terriers. Here's the thing. I actually really like the first episode of Terriers, but it's so much not a pilot. It flows so smoothly into the rest of the show that I don't separate it out in my mind in that way. Whereas a lot of these, like Cheers, a lot of the pilots I like, or you could lift them out and just watch them and nothing else, and it's a fully satisfying story. Like Lost, while it does leave you like, I want to know what's going to happen next, if that was a Twilight Zone episode...
That pilot's amazing.
That's a great that's just a great one-shot story.
Yeah. That's one of the most pleasing hours of television I think I've ever had was watching the pilot of Lost.
And Orphan Black's the same way. There's so many questions raised. There's this amazing performance. And the fact that it sort of shit the bed in later seasons and just went to this crazy, I don't know what's going on anymore, doesn't detract from the fact that pilot, the first episode is really interesting.
Arrested Development. I'm going to toss that real quick.
Oh, yeah.
There. Just with like how fleshed out and realized all those quirky characters were.
Yeah.
And it's because they shot a fuck ton of footage.
Yeah.
And Mitch Hurwitz obsessed over it forever before they finally released that pilot. Okay. Last question comes to us from Oscar Osario, who says, TV Dudes, is Netflix giving its creators too much artistic freedom? Having seen both OA and Sense8, I think there's a lot of words, but they're not saying much.
I think it's a reasonable point. I do think, and we'll talk about this later, so we're going to talk about Sense8 and OA. I think that that's the risk you run, is that sometimes you give your creators a lot of rope, and sometimes you get something that's amazing that would have been fucked up by network interference, and sometimes you get something where someone should have stepped in halfway through and gone, what is your fucking point?
Yeah. I mean, the best directors, even in movies too, sometimes need a wall to bounce off of.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes you give that insane amount of rope and you get Barry Lyndon back.
Yeah.
And nobody makes it through that whole thing. And, you know, sometimes you rein them in and you get something great. Sometimes you rein them in and you choke it out. And then you get a terrible network show that the creator leaves halfway through and like, I just can't do this. I'm done. But I feel like Netflix hasn't crossed that line for me yet. It doesn't seem too indulgent yet. I'm not getting Netflix shows that are grossly different episode lengths. I mean, some stuff's a little longer, a little shorter, but it's not like I'm getting somebody putting out a bunch of 16-hour episodes that they're going to make me sit. Like, it's not crazy self-indulgent.
Yeah, I think the general, if you look at the general trend, like we got like Lady Dynamite, we got Master of None, we got Orange is the New Black, any number of shows that...
Hemlock Grove.
Okay, all right. You found the exception.
Real Rob.
That proves the rule.
There are
There's a couple of them.
Yeah. But I think in general, they have earned a sort of a leeway with their creators. Like, hey, come here. We will let you make your show. And for the most part, you're going to make it good.
I mean, yeah, they're really trying to find unique voices. If there's anything that seems to thematically tie together what Netflix's brand is with their original content, I think is unique voices that all get to kind of make their presentation, but they all still recognize the format and still try to stay relatively true to it. They're not deviating, like you said, wildly. They're not trying to be super experimental.
Difficult question. If you could only have FX or Netflix, which one would you keep?
FX right now.
Me too.
Yeah.
But it's tough.
It is tough.
You think about all you'd give up, but yeah, I can also
I'd lose all the Marvel shows, but I gotta be honest. I expected more from those Marvel shows than I'm getting.
Yeah, I like them, but I'm not as in love with them as a lot of people are.
It's a little Phantom Menace-y.
Oh, just not that.
It's not that bad.
Not that, but I do.
I'm not done with Marvel Comics.
I would say to the extent that I feel like I'm so much more forgiving when I watch it for the first time.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh yeah, everything was awesome. I'm feeling great. And then I start thinking about it. I'm like, oh, well, it's kind of slow. Why did this happen? This was boring, this part. That was a mess. Oh.
I'm less concerned about Netflix indulging specific creator voices or you know, Maria Bamford or whoever they get to do Will Arnett, even though that was terrible. Was that Flake?
Flake.
Oh, that's a horrible show. Anyway. I'm less worried about them indulging these people and getting occasional bombs when they occasionally hit Stranger Things or something just absolutely wonderful.
Yeah.
I'm more concerned with them and all the other streaming services going on this kind of desperate buying spree for, it seems like, kid and family entertainment.
Yeah.
And I understand they want to strengthen up that side, but how many things are on Netflix with Netflix-branded original on them right now? It's just a crazy amount of shows have the Netflix thing on there, and they're not ones that they really produced from the start. I feel like
those kid ones are kind of awesome.
There's a couple of them that have like one star things where I'm going like, how bad is that animated thing?
Storybots is a show on there that is fucking awesome.
They also have stuff like Troll Hunter that just came, like they worked with Del Toro on Troll Hunter and that looks great, but occasionally I see this whole spate of things drop and they're all like Netflix clearly just went on a European buying spree and they picked up a French show and
it does seem like since they're going through these growing pains, they're just, I mean, and I think they have projected that next year they're raising their original content like 60%. Is that what I saw? That's fucking nuts. They're already like cranking out so much stuff.
What's going to happen? You're going to wake up and your phone's going to ring and you're going to get it. You're going to pick it up and it's going to be a Netflix show. It's 8 episodes just beamed directly into your brain.
Oh, that would save me so much time. If I could just Matrix style download them and be like, I now know Stranger Things.
I now know Real Rob.
Oh, no.
I can't get it out of my head.
The jokes are so bad.
I know that 2016 has been a little rough. There's been a lot of people dying.
What?
A lot of things dying.
Is that what we're referring to them now?
I want to bring you some
current people. Celebrities, dreams, lots of things.
Celebrities, dreams, faith in democracy. Things died.
Yes.
I would like to bring you a ray of hope that a couple of things died that should have died.
Go on.
So you might have heard, or maybe you're lucky not to, that A&E had a show coming out called Escaping the KKK.
Wasn't originally called that.
Nope.
What was it originally called?
It was originally titled Generation KKK.
Generation K.
Which just really sounded like, hey, you know, we're teaching the controversy. There's KKK guys out there. They're all right.
Yep.
No. Yeah.
But they've canceled it, citing, and this will shock you, serious ethical concerns.
Yeah.
Turns out, the type of producers you'd hired who might make a show about the KKK are not super ethical.
What were they doing?
Apparently, payments were made to the KKK.
Oh, in order to film them?
Yeah.
Like, paid, for them to be cool about, they, like, cameras being all up in the shit? Yeah,
they were, paid for access to some of those people. And A&E, they said, we previously have provided assurance to the public and our core partners, including the Anti-Defamation League and the Color of Change, that no payment was made to hate group members. And we believe that to be the case at the time. We have now decided not to move forward with airing this project. Now, I think part of that is true. I think part of that there was like, oh, these guys actually may have paid the KKK. That's bad.
Yeah.
But I think partly they were like, wait a minute. We had a brain fart. Why did we greenlight this in the first place? Yeah. We are going to be pilloried forever.
Well, I think like what I had heard about it, what the actual documentary or the show was trying to show is that there is these families that were being kind of destroyed by this indoctrination of hate, I guess.
Yeah.
And there were these kids that were trying to escape, and it was trying to show a sympathetic lens towards these people that are trapped in this system where of the KKK behind the scenes. And so there was a positive spin, but it seemed like how they're marketing things, how they had it initially named, all of it was just like, and it's happening at a time where everyone's already freaking out about the alt-right and this new neo-Nazi kind of movements.
Yep.
And everyone's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Well,
it kind of felt like they had to be dragged towards any kind of middle ground on it to start with. I mean, they originally calling it Generation KKK. There was the internet freak out, and then they partnered with Color of Change.
Yeah.
And Color of Change got them to change the name. And like it seemed like incremental steps.
Yeah.
Where I feel like during that process is when they were going, oh, no, but we'll change the name, but at least we didn't pay them. Oh, yeah. Shit, it turns we out paid we paid them.
Yeah.
So we've paid Klansmen to stand on camera and talk about how awesome the Klan is. But
they probably didn't think twice about paying them, too. No, it's just like standard in all their little reality shows. Like, oh, yeah, hey, guys, we're going to be spending all this time. You know, we're going to be profiting off this, but we'll pay you guys for your time in order to do this. Oh, but they're a hate group.
I think that's where the ethical concerns of the show should have first cropped up. Yeah. Like, maybe we just shouldn't do this at all.
Yeah. Like, you'd think the first time they got a voucher from the KKK, someone in accounting went, hey, guys, are we sending money to the KKK? And someone might be like, let's pull the plug.
What if someone asked me this any time in the future of my life? Have I ever given money to the Klan? Hey,
have you ever written a check paid to the order of the KKK?
Mistakes were made.
This escalated quickly.
The other one, this is not quite as egregious, although it is good to have it strangled. Cruel Intentions had a reboot coming, and it is officially dead.
Yay!
It says it may for be now redeveloped, but I don't think that's very likely.
Well, I think this is a good sign. Yeah. Only bad things die, right, Randy?
Only bad things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, Fuller House, I'm imagining, is gone as well.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that.
Oh, is it?
Fuller House, season 3 renewal.
No!
400 more episodes of Kimmy Gibbler, at least I assume. I didn't read the actual story.
400 episodes in the next season.
Isn't that how Fuller House goes?
They're really indulging that out too far. Netflix is really indulging Fuller House on their episodes too much.
Yes, they are.
I now take back my answer. They should stop.
When is the real Rob Fuller House crossover going to happen?
Oh, my God.
side note.
Yes.
You guys are talking, you're mentioning like 400 episodes.
Yep.
Have you guys ever heard of the, what's it called? Van Morrison did these 3 albums a long time ago. This is a music deviation, so sorry, this is a weird segue.
It's like Greg is here.
Yeah, but Rubio on Beerus with me, he was just telling me about this Van Morrison unofficial album that he recorded. He recorded 3 albums because he was locked into this contract. So
are these the contractual obligation albums?
Yes! You've heard of this.
Yes.
Have you listened to it?
No.
Oh,
Neil Young got sued for the same for doing a similar thing.
He was locked into doing 3 more albums, and he goes in one afternoon and cranks out all these songs, all about 1 minute long, and you can listen as he does them in order, and it tells this story of fuck you studio that is so hilarious.
Oh, I'll have to check this out.
He's doing these songs that are like like riffs on like Wooly Wooly, Wooly Wooly, but it's his, yeah. his Van Morrison version, and they're just shitty. And then he's got his record, the producer George, who's like, he's got a song called Dum Dum George on there, and George just left, and Dum Dum George is back, or something like that. It's just like, and they released this eventually.
I knew it was basically like a Wesley Willis album of, so of like, good. I whoop Batman's ass.
So here's my, are you suggesting that Fuller House is eventually going to be about episodes about how stupid people should be watching it?
Maybe, but I was more trapped into the thought of, what if they just went one afternoon and cranked out 400 episodes?
Yeah,
Fuller House.
That would be, it would make sense if they could do that, because I don't think there's any skill going on there.
Seasons happen.
However, while Fuller House will be returning in 2017, also returning is DuckTales.
Yes, with a lot of people you may probably like.
Oh my god, the release video is actually the new cast singing the theme, which is the catchiest earworm ever, that theme. And notably, the lead character is being played by David Tennant.
Kilgrave as Scrooge.
And also,
that is awesome.
his grandnephews, Huey, Dewey, and Louie, have been cast by Danny Pudi, Ben Schwartz, and Bobby Moynihan.
Wow. Yes. Wow.
Beck Bennett, who's another Saturday Night Live veteran, has been cast as Launchpad McQuack. I don't know who that is, but I know who Launchpad McQuack is. I don't know who Beck Bennett is.
You'd recognize him.
Okay. Kate Micucci has been cast as Webby Vanderquack.
Oh, she's great.
And awesome. I cannot pronounce the name Tox Alagunde.
Yeah.
She is from Castle, Steven Universe, The Neighbors, will voice Mrs. Beakley.
This cast is incredible.
I've never seen an episode of DuckTales, by the way. Never.
Really?
But I'm super excited about the new series and coming to Disney XD.
I've seen a lot of episodes of DuckTales. I'm really excited about this.
Did you solve a mystery?
I did.
Did you rewrite history?
Yeah.
This is the worst.
It was harder than I thought.
Let's just move on to the next news segment.
Finally, speaking of shows I'm super excited about, Fargo has added a couple more people to round out their season 3 cast.
This is also fucking nuts.
Yeah. Boardwalk Empire alum Michael Stuhlbarg.
And Boardwalk Empire alum.
And Boardwalk Empire alum Shea Whigham.
Yeah.
Who you might remember as Nucky's brother.
All right.
Yeah. This whole cast with Carrie Coon, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, and who else they have?
Jim Gaffigan? Scoot McNairy?
Jim Gaffigan?
So I should catch up on Fargo.
Ewan McGregor?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Yeah. I love Fargo. I am super excited to see this.
All right, well, let's go ahead and take a break because we got a lot of 2017 TV to discuss.
So starting off 2017, on January 2nd, Freeform, which used to be called ABC Family until that just got so freaking inappropriate that they finally changed the name of the channel. I have a soft spot for Freeform. They run stuff like The Fosters and Separated at Birth, and I don't care. I've watched all those shows. They're freaking great. Anyway, Beyond is their take on like a Heroes type thing. You have a kid who goes into a coma for 12 years, wakes up, and he's got some kind of telekinetic superpowers. And as the weirdness of that is starting to set in on him, there's some kind of government conspiracy that swoops in, and he's hunted for this.
Is he still a kid when he wakes up?
No, he's 12 years old. I mean, it's like Flight of the Navigator. He goes into a coma. He wakes up. It's not Flight of the Navigator.
He doesn't age?
Yeah, no, he aged. Like, he's 12 years older.
Oh, so he's 24 or something.
Yeah, yeah,
like.
And he wakes up and has powers, and on top of the weirdness of having been gapped out of his life for a while.
And puberty, man.
Yeah, you missed the whole thing.
I think it's 12 years. I think that's what they said in the trailer. Anyway, gap of time, kid has a coma, wakes up with telekinesis on a very ABC Family-ish.
Yeah, okay. Then we have NBC. Wow, we're starting off weird in 2017. Emerald City, which is their dark and gritty take on Oz.
Yeah.
Grimdark Oz.
This is one that Tarsem is kind of working with him.
Yeah, I think so.
On. That explains a lot on the look of it, actually.
Yeah.
Because it's beautiful.
It is really beautiful. That explains why the witch looks like straight out of the cell. Yes. Okay.
This is going to be bad, right?
Yeah, because it's also Tarsem.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's going to look beautiful, though.
No offense, but I always go like, man, Tarsem, your movies look amazing, and they're boring.
Yeah, I never want to watch The Fall again, but I want to see The Fall. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I don't want to watch The Cell. Or Cell, was it Cell?
The Cell.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. Kind of interested.
I'll watch an episode at least. We'll give it a
so much more interesting than I thought it was going to be. There was a cop procedural show a couple years ago that had a weird
Tin Man.
Yes,
talking about Tin Man.
No, I saw Tin Man. I enjoyed that. Oh. No, actually, she ends up as the assassin on Person of Interest. But there was a short-lived show where this. I can't tell if it really was tied to Wizard of Oz or if they just made every single character a fucking allusion to character of
Oz. Yeah, I remember what you're talking about. Yeah.
It was just weird. It lasted like half a season, maybe a season. Yeah. So I want to see him do this. I was really surprised.
Later in January 10th, Taboo, which is the new Tom Hardy show on FX. And first of all, it's on FX and it's Tom Hardy. And right there, I'm interested.
It looks fucked up.
It's like a guy who comes back from abroad, and he's like, this is during the time of the East Indian Trading Company, and he's like this mercenary who declares war on the East India Trading Company.
He did some shit that was bad.
Yeah.
And then he comes back and he pays for it.
Yeah. It looks like sort of crazy turn of the century, not even turn of the century, but like early, you know, pirate days, conspiracy business type stuff. It looks interesting as hell.
Yeah. And Tom Hardy on TV. I'm excited for it.
Yeah.
I honestly haven't looked into this at all. I feel like I'm probably the least excited about it of everyone I know, but I know this show's going to be good and I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
So I really haven't bothered with any of the commercials for it or anything.
Because it's going to be on FX.
I'm like,
FX.
Wait, Tom Hardy FX? No, we're good. Don't show me that.
Yeah.
Then on January 13th, Netflix will release Series of Unfortunate Events.
What do you guys think about this?
I never read these books.
Me neither.
I have a hard time getting excited about it, except that the commercials have been really good so far.
Yeah.
The trailers, rather, have been really good. Patrick Warburton's Meadowen.
Neil Patrick Harris. I mean, I like Neil Patrick Harris playing this sort of scenery-chewing role.
Yes, with a unibrow.
Fun.
And yeah, it looks more fun the more I look into it.
Did you guys watch the Jim Carrey movie?
No.
No.
I did. It was boring. And it made me not interested in this franchise. Yeah. And now to have it brought back again, kind of close to when that movie came out.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of not interested.
I think this is one of those things where it's like somebody got it wrong and they want to get it right. You remember the Buffy movie, which I know some people like.
Oh, it was so good.
but the Buffy TV show, I think, suffered from this too. It's like the Buffy TV show was the original intent.
Yeah.
And everyone was thinking, they made a show of that movie?
I felt exactly that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, I'm not watching it, and I still haven't.
So that's where I'm coming from. That's where I'm at. I feel like this is probably the franchise. The people who love this franchise are like, oh, thank God they're going to rescue it.
Mm.
So we'll see.
We'll see what the execution's like.
The week after that, January 20th, Netflix will release the second season of Voltron Legendary Defender.
Dude, I need to watch the first season of this because I watched the first episode and it was great.
I'm with you. I hate anime. It's just a terrible, terrible genre. And I loved Voltron's first season.
I watched the first episode and I was like, shit, this is really hilarious. Yeah. And Reese Darby, he's got to be writing some of the humor in there because it's so great. Fucking good.
Yeah. Yeah, this is great. I rewatched a bunch of it this last year, just, you know, off and on, and it's a really great action show, and I'm excited to see what they do the second season.
Speaking of something I'm completely not interested in.
Oh, you mean
Betty
Riverdale?
And Veronica Mars?
Betty and Veronica Mars. That's a perfect description of it.
So it's January 25th. The CW is bringing Riverdale, which very much seems to be, you know some of the things, right? Like, Archie's having an affair with Miss Grundy.
I'm going to watch this whole fucking show, man. I'm so ready for Riverdale. It's ridiculous.
Oh, man. Of course you are.
I'm going to subject y'all to so much Riverdale.
It's the CW, and I like so much of what the CW does. And I like what they've been doing with the Archie comics, which it's some of the same people involved, like executive producing. So I'm going to watch it.
It
looks so
teen, angsty, trashy, yes. Dawson's Creek 100%. Garbage that I don't like it. Put a superhero in. No, I don't want a superhero in an actual Riverdale. They might even try that. And it looks like Hemlock Grove to me.
cut to February TV dudes.
Grant. Oh man, if they've got so a werewolf, good. If, so good. Grant, if Riverdale does a werewolf change as good as Hemlock Grove,
fuck, dude, you were right. That was one of the most amazing scenes I've
Literally,
seen.
Literally, everything else in that show was a piece of shit, but I watched that werewolf change, and then I put up with an episode of it for it.
Yeah, that's true.
Fox, starting in February, February 5th, Fox will be releasing 24 Legacy.
I'm actually really excited for that.
Me too.
No concerns over this at all.
Here's the thing. I love 24, but I love 24 on a level of, when the miniseries came out, I got together with some of my friends who also used to watch it, and we watched it kind of like you would watch a football game, because it's dumb, but you're like, you're rooting for Jack to kill the terrorist, and it's so balls to the wall insane.
It's fun. They do great things with pacing on that show.
Yeah.
That the time, with using the clock, they're very effective with it.
Yeah.
The handful of 24 episodes that I've seen, every single one of them was a like white knuckle, like where yeah. I actually had like gripped the arms of the couch or whatever, like where I'm going, I don't know who any of these people are, really give a fuck about this show, but holy crap, this is effective television. And I still don't care about the show, but they know what they're doing.
Yeah, they do.
Well, I like this because it has Corey Hawkins from, what's it called?
Straight Out of Compton.
Straight Out of Compton.
And he was great.
And he also was in Walking Dead, but I don't hold that against him. I hold it against every single character being meh in Walking Dead.
Yeah, I don't think you can blame him for that. You blame Walking Dead for that. Yeah, I'm excited to see this. Then on February 5th, same night, Fox is releasing APB. Les, what's APB about?
APB. If the brother from Weeds were a super billionaire that was going to save society with drone technology, because you need to A, be on board with drone technology, apparently, and billionaires saving us. I don't like this whole trend in television. There's a couple of shows coming out right now that are Rich Dude Saves Us, and I realize that I read comic books. And that's hypocritical as fuck. But Batman being rich aside, this is about a guy that comes into the police department and shows off this technology that combines drones and all the CCTV cameras in a way that just somehow isn't creepy. And he helps the cops. And then
he buys out the police department so that he can start running it, I think.
And then it appears from the commercial that technology then gets out into the hands of a lot of people, and that looks terrifying. That's the most interesting part of this show to me, and I'm still not going to fucking watch it.
Bad stuff.
I believe that APB is going to be is going to help us ease us into the new surveillance state and a billionaire-run society that we're going to be living in.
Hooray for the future.
I feel like it's going to have the same kind of success as Second Chance.
After that, Big Little Lies on February 19th on HBO.
This is that Reese Witherspoon thing.
Yeah, nothing about this. What's this about?
This one, it looks sort of noirish. It's
surfers.
It's like a beach community, and there's maybe some dark stuff going on.
Like a beach cop detective-ish.
No, sadly.
It seemed sort of like Blue Crush when I watched the...
Yeah, except it's not about surfers, though. It's like that's like about housewives, and I feel like there's going to be sort of... I don't know. I'm really intrigued by it because it seems like it's based on a book.
Well, it's HBO.
It looks sort of dark, and it's HBO. So I'm curious to see where this one goes. I don't know much about it, and I kind of don't want to know much about it, actually, because I want to go in as blind as possible. That's what I did with Night Of, and I was really happy about
that. It's just going to end up feeling like a Broadchurch kind of thing or something. Yeah, I'd like to go in blind.
Yeah, and I think that might be there's some kind of scandal or something in this town.
Big Little Lies, Pretty Little Liars. No one's going to...
Nope.
Point out the... Okay, nope. What's the next show?
Crashing, also February 19th on HBO, and I don't know what this is about.
So this has the comedian, I don't remember his name, Pete something or other.
Oh yeah, this is fuck, the guy who did those X-Men interviews.
Yeah, he's a big guy in web episodes, web comedy.
Well, he had a short-lived show, which had some great stuff on it.
I think what's going on here is this guy has like just lost his wife to infidelity. He's going through a divorce. He's crashing on a couch trying to figure out his life.
Right.
And he's just kind of a mess. It's a comedy. And the scenes I saw from it look kind of funny.
Yeah, that's right. Now I remember seeing the trailers. And I like this guy. Although I can't remember. I like him so much, I can't remember his last name.
Yeah, he's not that memorable. I keep wanting to say Pete Best.
I don't think that's him.
Yeah.
The drummer
this
from The Who?
This is what became of him.
There's no way Pete Best is the drummer from The Who.
No, you're right.
The Beatle. He's the fifth Beatle.
He's the fifth Beatle.
Yeah,
that's right. The drummer from The Who is Keith Moon.
Yeah. Yes.
Who could play Moon Knight in the Netflix show Moon Knight.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
We'll dig him up.
Taken, February 27th from NBC. This is exactly what you think it is.
Yeah.
It is. Special set of skills, the whole nine yards?
Yep.
It is a prequel with a young Billy Mills, where he's, Brian Mills, rather.
Is he hawking OxyClean? Like, isn't that?
We're going to find out how he gets his special skills. Each week, he'll get a new special skill.
So when I watch this, yeah. Apparently the lead actor is this guy from Vikings, which I haven't watched, and I suppose I should.
But we have friends who love it.
But I totally thought it was Hugh Dancy. It looks just like Hugh Dancy, okay. At least initially. And I was like, what is he doing on this show? Now I'm interested. And they went, oh, wait, that's not him. No, I'm not interested anymore. Because the rest of it just looks like generic 24 light or something.
Yeah, I have a hard time getting excited for action movies franchises translated down into television.
Yeah.
And I mean, as much as I enjoyed the Taken movie, the first one was great. The second one was derivative of the first one and the third. Like, they're like the Hangover sequels. I mean, They're terrible, but they're funny in the same sense of humor as the first one in a diminishing return.
Very much diminishing returns. That third one, garbage.
I never saw the Hangover third one.
Like, how many people can Liam Neeson punch in the throat? And it's still entertaining to me. I'll watch Liam Neeson punch people in the throat all day. The Liam Neesons are great. But I don't know if this show's going to be any good. It's not going to have the Neesons.
Can I spoil it for you? It's not going to be.
It's not going to be good. Is Kyle going to live it? Is it going to be like Lethal Weapon good?
It might be Lethal Weapon good. Yes. Cut to February. Cut to March. Guys, Taken is my favorite new show. I love it. My actual most likely favorite new show is coming on February. We don't know when in February from FX. Legion.
You think this is going to be your favorite?
Oh, huh? I am so excited. This is, you know how much I love Fargo.
And Noah Hawley.
Noah Hawley.
Big old broner for him.
And it's the X-Men.
I really think this might be good. Yeah.
It's Aubrey Plaza.
Yes.
And the ads look fantastic.
It's not the X-Men, though.
I was so worried about, I mean, yes, exactly. I was so worried about this show. Just like, how could it possibly not shit the bed?
It looks like X-Men by way of Wes Anderson.
Yeah, I really like the ad campaign. I like Aubrey Plaza.
I'm so in.
I like the...
It's going to hurt so much when this sucks.
I really like the surreal scenes that I saw in the trailer.
The Bollywood dance number?
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of a show I haven't watched, so I don't know how it could remind me of that. But it seems a little like My Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Okay.
Where it does these weird fantastical deviations.
Yeah. That one's a little goofier. I think this is going to be more surreal.
Okay.
But
if Legion is like Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, then I am definitely watching that.
Then on March 17th, Netflix will be launching Iron Fist.
Yes.
I'm excited for the first few episodes, and then those middle ones gonna be like, get to the end, and then the end one, yay again.
I think you're right. I think I'm excited for the first few, and then I'll check Facebook and be told to no stick with it.
Every time, stick with it, guys.
I'm just excited to see all little nods, all little Easter eggs, and to see the man with a glowing fist of iron.
I'm ready to watch Jason Murphy explode. Like, he's going to absolutely die.
Yep, Jason Murphy's the biggest Iron Fist fan there is.
Or he's going to get really angry at all the
inconsistencies. Either way, it's going to be entertaining as shit.
Either way, he's dead. He's a dead man.
Then in April, to be decided when, we don't know yet, but Starz releasing American Gods.
This is my most anticipated show for the next year.
I'd be anticipating more if it was on a different network. Starz has not quite hit with me yet.
This has all of the interest that Star Trek had for me, taken away from Star Trek, and Brian Fuller. So
you mean
Brian Fuller. This has Brian Fuller.
Yeah.
And Ian McShane. Every freaking thing that guy has touched, I've enjoyed. Hannibal was amazing. Yep. All the way back through Pushing Daisies, he's done so many weird things. I can't freaking wait. Gaiman's all about it.
Yeah.
It looks like Pablo Shriver is going to steal it as Mad Sweeney.
Yeah.
Peter Stormare as Chernabog looks great.
Yeah.
I can't wait for this.
Yeah, this is Neil Gaiman's novel about sort of modern gods, and it's
Crispin Glover's in it. I mean, seriously.
Oh, wow, is he?
Yeah.
You know, when I watched the trailer for this, maybe it's just because of the Starz and the whole association, I was totally thinking, why does this feel like Banshee? Which isn't to me necessarily a ringing endorsement, but in Brian Fuller, I fully trust.
Yeah.
And this cast and everything else about it, I'm sure that it's just the network association for me.
Yeah.
And I'm with you, Les.
Yeah, by the way, excited. Looking forward to this.
I like Banshee, but I don't think it's gonna be anything like Banshee.
Good.
I think this is gonna be very cool. Then in May, coming from CBS, but not on CBS TV,
and not with Brian Fuller.
He's been very clear about that. Is Star Trek Discovery, which now have we know who the main character is from Walking Dead? I forget her name. Sonequa Green. Whatever, I can't remember her first name.
That sounds close.
But she's going to be the first officer. Michelle Yeoh's in the show. I mean, like, I want to like this. I want to be excited about Star Trek again. But Fuller leaving really took the wind out of the sails for me.
It's the Ant-Man problem, isn't it?
Like, but if it works out like that, that'll be great.
That would be fine.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like... It's like I was so excited for it because you know, Edgar Wright's on Ant-Man, Brian Fuller's doing Star Trek. This is a dream come true. And then they leave and you go, How can this be good?
Right.
Yeah. How? I don't know.
But it's been interviews with Fuller the entire time that have made me go, okay, he really gets this.
Yeah.
And I haven't heard anything really from the rest of CBS that are doing it. Like, I don't know who's in charge of this thing
anymore. Yeah, we don't even know who's leading it.
No, it's me. I'm doing it.
Oh, it's going to be garbage. That actually makes me feel better.
We're on two sides of this.
Grant's right. I'm going to fuck it up.
Phoning it in.
Actually, literally phoning it in.
Yeah.
Hey guys, can the ship go faster? Like really fast?
Like real fast.
Let's make it go real fast.
What about warp speed billion?
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
What about double warp speed?
It's going to be very important to pick the correct background engine hum. I recently discovered through a friend of mine that there are 12-hour long YouTube clips of each different engine hum from each Star Trek show.
So you can just listen to it?
Yes. A friend of mine sleeps to this.
Let me ask you this. Was this friend high when he discovered this?
Yes, I bet so. I would bet so.
Knowing
who sent me that link, I'd almost guarantee it.
All right. Big Hero 6 is coming to Disney XD on May. And we don't talk a lot about animation on this show, but Big Hero 6 is getting an animated show. It's not going to be CGI. It's going to be traditional hand-drawn animation.
Wow.
And it's going to be a lot of the same voice cast is involved. TJ Miller isn't, which is always sad.
Yeah.
But they'll get a TJ Miller type.
Oh, okay. Well, that guy just got arrested for domestic abuse, didn't he?
What?
Yeah, like Christmas Eve or something.
Oh. I wish I didn't know that.
Damn, all our Miller. Heroes will disappoint us.
I wish
us.
I didn't know that.
I don't know the details. Maybe it was something different, something weird.
Oh, now we have to look. Thanks a lot, Grant.
All right. 2016.
I have to look. Do I hate you now or not? Maybe just don't look and you can still enjoy it.
You or you an asshole?
No, I have to know. But there's more stuff coming. Stuff that we're... We don't know when on some of this stuff.
Yes.
Making History is coming to Fox. And you guys have watched the trailer for this and I haven't.
Yeah. It looks kind of funny.
This looks great. Whatever problems that I might be scared of in the trailer of what basically looks like Drunk History Time Machine, it's Lord Miller. It's Phil Lord.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't remember Miller's
Gary
first name.
Miller.
Yeah. Chris Miller.
Chris Miller.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's the guys that managed to make Last Man on Earth way funnier than it should have friggin' been.
The Lego Movie guys.
The Lego Movie was a watchable movie and not a giant commercial I wanted to stab myself during. I'll give those guys a little more leeway than I would give on a lot of premises. Plus, I love Adam Pauly. There's a lot of great comedians in this that I feel like were on shows that got canceled out from under them, even though they were doing good work.
Right.
And this feels like a cast of those people doing pretty fun stuff.
Yeah, it's basically this guy has a gym duffel bag that he and his buddy go back in time to... He goes back in time to get a girlfriend. He fucks up the American Revolution, so he gets his history professor friend to go with him back in time to kind of restart the American Revolution.
Of course, his history professor friend is black.
Well, that's going to be an issue.
That's a problem.
Yeah, if we learn from Timeless, it's not a great idea.
Yeah, I think he stands up and tries to like rally up a bar to start the American Revolution, and everybody turns and goes, "Who brought a slave?" Like it yeah.
But Adam Pally's line to him is like, start saying movie quotes. They love that shit. And he's like, show me the money. And they're like, yay.
They get in the duffel bag and he looks, he's like, what is that? That's a ham. Like, yeah, I know you can eat it, you can trade it. Ham's like diamond crusted heroin in the past. and seriously, throughout the entire trailer, like, are you sleeping with my daughter? Ham? We're square. Yeah, it just looks screwball. And
okay, all right.
Very much in line with the rest of Fox's comedies.
Okay. Fargo season 3 is coming to FX. I might have mentioned that I'm kind of excited about this.
Yes.
We don't know when, but it's this year.
Yeah, super excited.
Prison Break season 5.
It's back.
I realize that the Gilmore Girls just did a time-gapped reunion show where they all aged up and everything, but this struck me as really weird. What Prison Break is doing on Fox, I really can't think of another show that's done it quite like this. They've had a gap of time between, and they are picking it up kind of in real time in these characters' lives now and just continuing on the same show. This isn't a reboot.
Arrested Development did it, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
They jumped ahead in time.
So, I have a question as someone who only watched the first, like, 6 episodes of Prison Break. Didn't one of them die? I thought one of them died.
That's the premise of this show. They think that the brother that had the tattoos, Captain Cold.
Yeah, sure.
From
Legends of Tomorrow,
Legends of Flash. Yeah.
Michael Schofield.
Yeah.
Wow, I still remember his name from the
show.
Wow,
I'm impressed.
Yeah. So they, the Schofield brothers. They think he's dead, and now they've got some kind of clue that he might be alive.
Oh, okay.
And it turns out he's in prison somewhere in the middle of nowhere, and Heatwave, Dominic Purcell?
Purcell.
He's tatted up now.
Okay.
So Wentworth Miller. That's how they got the actor's name.
Yeah.
Yay! I'm doing this in real time, folks.
Wow. Huh.
There's no way that this is...
You know, it's super contrived, but they wanted to do another season. Sure, whatever.
Sure.
Whatever you gotta do, I feel like have fun.
I feel like Prison Break worked when it first aired around the same time Dexter was starting.
Yeah.
But TV's changed. I mean, the stuff that was airing right when The Sopranos started doesn't fit with television anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like TV might have changed a little bit since Prison Break was on, but maybe I'm wrong.
My problem is that with the first season of Prison Break, it was kind of fun, except way too long. It's 22 episodes.
Yeah.
And it needed to be shorter. And I'm hoping that they're going to do this one shorter. But
I think they probably will.
But they had all this fresh material to explore with first time being in prison, having to learn the ropes, having to fight through all these different people. But now these guys are like veterans of different prisons.
Yeah.
And so it has this whole different element to it that's not going to be as exciting for the audience.
Right.
Though they did get Robert Nepper back.
Oh, okay.
He was a great character on that.
Yeah.
That actor just chews scenery wonderfully.
Is he Teabag?
Yes.
Teabag.
Okay. He can chew scenery in just about everything. I do just great.
You know what my problem with it is? Every show they bring back that isn't Terrier is like a slap in the face to me.
To you personally.
To me personally.
Yes.
Another time travel show, Time After Time,
yes,
from ABC. Les, you have an opinion on this time travel show?
And this is based on a movie from the 80s that I freaking love from my childhood.
Christopher Reeve.
Yes. It's no.
Oh, this isn't.
No, man.
That's a different one.
No, this is definitely not him.
This is that Cyndi Lauper movie, right?
This is not him finding a penny and fucking the whole thing up.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry to spoil that movie for y'all. Christopher Reeve fucks that whole thing up.
Yep.
No, this is H.G. Wells' Jack the Ripper.
Right.
I think it was.
That's a different
movie. Malcolm McDowell? I think in the movie.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's a blast. Jack the Ripper is a friend of H.G. Wells and is being chased by the cops. H.G. Wells has just shown all his friends this time machine he's actually built.
Yep.
Ripper steals it, jumps to, in the movie, I think 84, 85.
Yeah, whatever the modern day was,
right? And of course, Jack the Ripper and the 80s just click. Like, he freaking loves it there. So I feel like the movie, I think the TV show has upped it to modern times, but yeah, same premise. The Ripper steps out now and is like, the world is perfect.
And H.G. Wells comes after him.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Jack the Ripper in 2017. I wonder what could be changing that would make that a place where Jack the Ripper might feel comfortable.
It just looks like a fun, goofy. I mean, I'm sure they're not going to be able to get into the fact that Jack the Ripper got away with murders because there were no fucking forensics then. But it'll still be fun.
Yeah. All right. We've got a few more that we wanted to hit real quick. And I know Grant's going to be excited about this. Rick and Morty season 3.
Dude, fuck yeah.
Yeah,
fuck
looking forward to that.
When? They won't say
we it. We don't know when. And we also don't know when, but we do know that both The Defenders and Punisher supposedly are supposed to be on Netflix this year.
Wow, yeah, that'll break cool. through 2.
That they're going to do 3 this year. We'll see, but that's what they're saying. Sense8's going to season 2. We're going to talk about the Christmas special in a minute. Leftovers Season 3, final season in April.
See a cameo of yours truly, potentially. Yeah. In do we already say that? Yeah, I might be in the first episode.
And then, I don't know, Master of None, they're filming right now. I don't know if Season 2 is going to hit this year or
they
next
do
year.
Say they're planning on having it 2017. I think it's going to be late in the year.
And then The Sun, I don't know what that one is.
Oh, did I put another The Sun in there? Yeah. Look for me in one of the episodes of The Sun on AMC. It's got Pierce Brosnan. It's a period piece Western.
Not sure if it's coming out this year or if it's going to be 2018. I think it's going to be 2017. Season 2 of The Path on Hulu.
Oh, yeah.
I really enjoyed Season 1 of The Path. It kind of meanders, but it's a well-made show. And then where they end it is a really interesting, I'm very interested to see where they pick it up in season two.
Okay.
Also, Hulu is going to be doing Handmaid's Tale, which I think is just an event. But it has the actress that played Puse in Orange is the New Black that's on You're the Worst now. And also Peggy from Mad Men.
That's right.
Should just be great.
And
that's
should be great.
Book.
They did. I mean, it's probably going to be like the same thing with 11/22/63, just a one-shot event. I love event.
I can't.
Like that.
Honestly, I'm probably going to keep up my Hulu subscription purely for Handmaid's Tale.
And I feel like there's one more thing that's coming up this year.
What? Show? Randy.
Game of Thrones coming up this winter.
Do we even care anymore?
Crazy shit is happening.
Do we even care?
Yes.
Of course
so
much.
There's only like 12 episodes left, right?
13, I think. 7 episodes and then 6.
Oh,
I know.
Let's not focus on
I'm
that part.
I'm so excited. It's going to be
I may start
awesome.
This year.
All right, well, let's go ahead and move on to talking about these two other shows that, you know, they kind of came out during the break.
Yep.
First off, we have the OA, and then we also have this little Christmas special, also on Netflix, for Sense8.
Yeah.
They did a Christmas special, which seems very British.
There's a weird... These shows sort of link together in a way. It makes a lot of sense, because as Les was noting... I believe off mic that Sense8 and the OA are sort of both doing the same thing. They're both doing sort of high concept sci-fi about the connections between us and human relationships and that kind of thing. And one of them does it very, very well. And the other one is the OA.
Wow. Well, all right. That's our review.
Yeah, there we go.
I'm kidding because Les, please do tell us what you think of this OA show.
Randy and Grant, I want you to cross with me a border that's difficult to define. That's the whole... God damn it, that's the whole show. All right, The OA is a show by Britt Marling, who is a sci-fi darling right now. Has done 3 movies, Sound of My Voice, I, Origins, and Another Earth. All of them wrestle with big sci-fi concepts that touch on the point where science just doesn't know anything past. So
right.
The OA is kind of Flatliners-ish in that... she's apparently been kidnapped and has
death cult?
Died or had a near-death experience. It's about near-death experiences and people coming back with, she comes back with her sight, the main character.
Yeah.
I was telling Grant earlier, this is a show where I would really prefer to just read the Wikipedia synopsis of the whole thing, because then I would read all of these cool chronological events that stack up to a really clever and neat sci-fi idea, and I would naturally assume that you had done something narratively to get the characters from one spot to the next in some kind of segue that made fucking sense. But you haven't. Instead, Britt Marling does a Michael Cera impersonation and mouth breathes through the whole show, where she speaks in these weird, vague, half-sentence philosophy bullshit, surrounded by teenagers who apparently love nothing more than to join a crazy woman adult in an abandoned house. I really, that is about as sensible as the OA gets. There are 8 or 10 episodes of this, and I think it goes somewhere... else. I made it through 2, and I actually was sitting alone in a room saying out loud occasionally, I fucking hate this show so much. Who am I even talking to? I kept saying it out loud, like at the TV, like, you're terrible, stop it.
Doesn't it have some great like spiritual thematic tie-ins though, Les?
It may eventually, I don't know. I think she's an angel. It does have Phyllis from The Office, and she friggin' kills it.
Well, she's great. She's always great.
She is just great. And Jason Isaacs tries his damnedest, but you, the dialogue is treacle, and there's a, I keep feeling like I've been suckered into a Christian rock band or something. Like there's something there. I keep waiting for this, like, ha ha, science doesn't know it all. Plus the whole thing's kind of monochromatic and boring as shit. Yeah. I hate this show. I haven't hated a show quite like this in so long. There are a lot of crap things on television. There's Real Rob. There's a bunch of Real Housewives shows.
Yeah.
They don't make me physically friggin' angry.
Yeah.
I had two people tell me that I really had to watch this so that we could discuss it without spoilers at the end because they loved it, and I had to reevaluate everything I knew about my friends because this is a badly made show. And it's sci-fi. It has to be on my radar. Money that could have gone to a second season of The Ascension went to this. Or I feel like there have to be a blacklist of sci-fi scripts that could have happened
instead of this.
But instead, Britt Marling has to write and star in all these things herself. It's like having David Mamet and Rebecca Pidgeon, his wife, who he casts in everything, as the same person, only Mamet can't write. All right, that's the OA. I'm sorry.
So that's the OA. By the way, I don't know what the OA stands for, because despite the fact that she mysteriously says, "I'm the OA" to about eight people.
I've made it through 2 hours and it
no one ever says, "What does that mean?"
Nope.
No one.
Oh, like the Not Order even the of the FBI. Arrow.
Yeah, it's exactly what I thought. I was in OA.
Yeah. I get it.
Yeah. No one ever says, "What does that mean?"
Yeah.
I got to say, that might be one of my most favorite reviews we've ever had on TV.
That was pretty good. That's pretty good. I did not hate it as much as Les did. I watched 2.5 episodes, and when they started getting into some of the kidnapping stuff of her backstory, I was like, oh, this is going kind of a weird Silence of the Lambsy place. I'm curious about it. But I also don't see ever finishing it. I don't care.
I was watching... I made it much less through this, language. I'm on a podcast. I didn't really make it that far. I made it through half of the first episode, and I was just so bored by it.
Mm-hmm.
Everything seems like it's taking its time being really profound with mm-hmm. these scenes. Mm-hmm. Like you said, Les, the colors are so muted to be kind of just dour and depressing, and it's like, I don't want to spend any time in this world. It looks like shit. There's this whole pretentious air to the whole thing that it's just like, no, I don't want to spend any time.
There's a huge assumption that you're already on board with the wonder of this show.
Yeah.
And it drove me nuts where I like, they kept saying things that sounded like they were capital letters. Like when Stephen King just capitalizes words and you're like, oh, that's a theme.
Yeah.
And I love Stephen King and he can do it. This doesn't work here. I felt like characters were just talking in important thoughts.
That fucking interview in the first episode where the cops are talking to her after she comes back.
Oh, I didn't disappear. I was present all the time.
I was like, well, your next question is, what does that mean?
Yeah.
No, and the next question, no, wait, what the fuck does that mean? What's the OA? No, where have you been? What do you mean by all of this? Please go on. Explain anything.
She suggests that there are other kidnapped people in that interview with the cops, and they don't follow up on it.
Yeah.
They're just like, oh, you're tired? We'll give you time. I'm like, no, fuck that.
Yeah.
Also, she jumped off a bridge, fell on her feet. They're all bruised to fuck, and her parents came and got her the next day, and she's walking around.
Yeah.
I was like,
She scratches her toes in the carpet. That's how she knows she's home.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a cute little diehard nod, I guess. But why is she that's a dumb thing for me to be complaining about, given all the other dumb things. Yeah. But I was just like, I don't want to spend any more time.
This is the problems that the show has. I have forgiven innumerable other shows each of these flaws, but not all at once in the same show.
It just really compounds them. Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's move on then to Sense8 and its Christmas special. This is the Wachowski brothers sci-fi show.
Well,
Wachowski siblings.
And that's right. And it just rolled off the tongue. Sorry.
It is actually only Lana.
Yes. Only Lana's on this one.
I believe we were trying to determine what the other, whether Wachowski's
Lily
name was.
Now.
Lily. Lily, I believe, was transitioning during this period and didn't participate in this part. Yeah. Will be a part of season 2. And J. Michael Straczynski, which Les and I talked a little about this at my store. And we had both forgotten that he was involved until we saw the credits. And that makes a certain amount of sense, because JMS is a guy who does big sweeping sci-fi type stuff and horror type stuff in comics and in TV. So it makes sense for him to be in this sort of weird sci-fi place with the Wachowskis.
Yeah.
And Sense8, I think, has some of the same issues that I have with both those creators, and that they get a little up their own ass sometimes. They're a little too, I want to say, sincere. Like, this is all so great. It's the Sorkin problem, I think. But yeah, it's a good problem earnest. To have.
It's I feel like that's why I associate Sense8 when I was watching the OA, and I was about to watch the Sense8 Christmas special around the same time, and I thought, I couldn't help but compare these shows a little bit.
Yeah.
Because they both deal with high concept sci-fi. Frankly, they're both difficult to get into.
Oh, sure.
I love Sense8, but I'm not going to lie that it's not a hard sell.
It took me three episodes before I fell in love with it.
It took me three episodes. It took me two friends going, no, please go back and try to watch this. And that's why I tried to put some time into the OA. It was like, all right, I'm having trouble with this, but I had trouble with Sense8. And there's a basic structural difference between the two shows. Sense8, well, the OA focuses on the OA, the character that is named that. Mm-hmm. And she's difficult and inaccessible, and maybe that's part of the mystery that unfolds over the show. But for the first two or three hours, you're just with a difficult, inaccessible person, and you're not meeting the rest of the characters.
Right.
And so consequently, I started to start the third episode, and I went, I can't name you a single other character in this show. I'm not watching the rest of this. Whereas Sense8 did the opposite.
Yeah.
Confusing as shit for three or four episodes, but instead of spending all my time with Daryl Hannah, who kind of would have been the central point of that, she's a bit part
in... She's a guest star.
But she opens the first episode, and I feel like I would have spent all my time with her and never met any of the other eight people.
Yeah.
If you can think of the OA as like a Sense 5. In Sense8, I spent all those confusing episodes really getting into these people's lives, so that by the time the sci-fi concept overwhelmed their lives, I didn't want their lives to mess up. I wanted things to go like, no, but I want things to work out for you.
You care about the and I don't know all the names, to be honest. I've forgotten a lot of the names, but the girl who's getting married in India, you care about her. You care about the Wolfie, the German criminal. Yep.
Kala, Wolfgang.
You care about Van Damme, a.k.a. Caffius, the driver in Africa. Like, this is also, they did a great job of making multicultural, multinational. Like, it's really interesting, and the concept of sort of feeling others' feelings and sensing other senses and how that would mess you up is so good. And the Christmas special is essentially, it's like a 2-hour movie that's basically,
it's
like
their
bridging
season 2 pilot.
It's bridging season 1 and season 2.
Netflix listed as 2 episode 1.
Yeah.
But, and I think the title of the episode is just a Christmas special.
Yeah. I think that they were just like wanting to get a little thing out because it's been a little while. But this was really good. They got what Sense8 did really well, which was one of the weirdest and sort of sensual orgy scenes you've ever seen on TV.
Longest birthday orgy I've ever watched.
And a really great music montage thing, which is easy to fuck up, is easy to do badly. And they did one really great.
Especially on a show that leans on earnestness anyway, and leans on that sincerity. I feel like they do musical montages really well. Yeah. And better than, say, I felt like almost every Sons of Anarchy episode ended with a music video.
Yeah.
Yes.
And sometimes it worked, but after a while it just didn't. And and I was really surprised, actually. I kind of marked it in Sense8. They did one where I went, okay, that's how music montages are supposed to work.
Yeah.
Also, that orgy scene has got to be the least amount of actual like nipples or genitals ever shown in a scene that is that blatantly erotic.
Yeah.
I mean, where they are going for a sex scene. They are not trying for art. These people are having sex.
Yeah, and it's all eight of them sort of participating in their own, in each other's sex lives. And it's done in such a way that you're like, oh, I sort of get what this is like and how that it's, they really sell, the same thing they do with like when they do the Christmas, when they're all together for Christmas and they're all in different places. But it's like this big extended family. It's like your chosen family that's all together.
Yeah.
And but they're not together. They're just sensing each other as if they were, and they do a good job of showing that visually how that works.
I've now gone back and restarted watching this with a friend that I've talked into this, and rewatching the first episode of season one, I'm astonished at how solid the internal logic on this show is.
Yeah.
Episode one, when I first watched it, it was really confusing. What's happening to Daryl Hannah and what's going on? You just don't know what the fuck is happening.
Right.
Rewatching it, having watched all of season one, I don't know everybody's full stories because there's still story to tell.
Right.
But what's happening to her makes sense.
Yeah.
In the context of the show, like, oh, you're feeling what Will feels like. Yeah. Okay, I've seen another character do this now.
I think that's one of the things that JMS is probably bringing to it. The Wachowskis are good big idea people.
Yeah, no, but it is solidly written.
And JMS is a dude who's worked in, like, TV and story Bibles and that kind of thing. And
someone
like,
went back, you know, and sewed this up.
He did a five arc. He did one of the first season arcs on TV, the five season arc on Babylon 5. He's a guy who knows structure and knows you got to know where you're going to get where you get where you're going. And so I feel like he was like, okay, I'm going to make sure all this makes sense. And then you guys will lay it out so that people can not necessarily know where it's going, but when they get there, they'll feel like, oh, that all made sense. There was none of this where they were throwing shit at the wall to see what stuck.
I don't know. Did you ever watch Cloud Atlas?
I have.
No, but that's the Wachowskis.
Yeah, but that's a patchwork quilt of setting stuff up in the beginning that's going to have payoff all the way down. Oh,
okay.
And but it's a 3-hour epic.
They also aren't alone on that, though. David Mitchell wrote a hell of a book.
Oh, okay. Well, it's fucking bonkers, and I never want to watch it again, but I was like, wow, it's impressive how you guys pulled this off.
That's one of the first novels that I've read as an adult that immediately hit my top 10 books I think I've ever read.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay.
But the book is structured entirely different than the movie and much better.
Yeah. I feel like the Wachowskis cover some of JMS's weaknesses, which is that he can sometimes be a little sappy and a little cheesy.
Yeah.
And JMS covers some of the structural weaknesses that can show up, especially
really
in the Matrix sequels.
I really feel like they shore each other up really well.
And as a result, I think we're getting the strengths of both. I really like this show. I know some people don't. Some people don't care for it. And I understand it is definitely a harder show to get into. But I thought I really liked this. And the Christmas special reminded me why.
Yes. They also had to do a recasting, which I haven't seen
which
very many shows
kind of
do.
Which is a shame.
It is a shame they had an actor that had some kind of personal issue with the show and left. He played Caffius or Van Damme. And They simply recast him. There is really no way to write a character out of this show.
No.
Given how interdependent and how core interdependency is to the plot. But they just recast
Seven
him.
Doesn't have the same ring.
Yeah. So they simply recast him. And the new actor has a little bit different build and is a little manly or tougher.
He's not
older.
As youthful or as exuberant.
Yeah.
Like, it definitely changed.
But it worked. They made a couple of meta jokes about it that were pretty funny, and then just kind of rolled along with it.
The Wachowskis have that problem where people try and lay down the law, and they just have to recast.
They also shoot the show in location, and the show is shot everywhere. And the interdependence of people appearing in your head to be standing right over your shoulder
means they're all everywhere.
Means that
they
tour like a circus, and they have to shoot basically all the rehearsals for everything as they go. The Wachowskis came onto the map with Matrix and redefining effects with Bullet Time.
Yeah.
And then Speed Racer redefined effects. And that's kind of how I always knew them, as effects guys.
Yeah.
And watching Sense8 and thinking, well, there really aren't that many flashy effects. There are. There are thousands of flashy effects. It's like finding out, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou is one of the most effects-driven movies because they color-corrected every single frame of that movie.
Right.
There are so many moments where someone is in the reflection of the car window, but they're not in the scene, or they're over his shoulder and then the camera moves slightly and they're gone. And it's the lighting remains perfect. Everybody's lit the same. I think about how hard it was to do the Fight Club scene when Ed Norton's looking through the IKEA catalog and furniture's appearing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
On the commentary, they bitched about how difficult it is to light things and have furniture appear and it not jack the lighting up for the whole rest of the room.
Right.
And I'm watching Sense8 going, oh my God, how many tiny visual effects that if anyone ever notices it's a visual effect, you blew it.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing. It is a beautiful looking show. Like, they make great use of locations. And like you say, they have to do all these really neat little visual tricks, and they do it in such a way that you don't notice, because if you did, it would ruin the effect.
It would take me out of the...
Yeah. I highly recommend Sense8 to people
It's worth the effort to me.
Yeah.
Well, it's coming back in 2017 as far as the calendar. So I suppose I should go and watch the first season.
Yeah, 2017 is going to be a great year.
It's going to be great, guys.
Wait, what could go wrong?
For TV. Nothing could go wrong. For TV. All right, guys, we're going to go ahead and call it there. Thank you, Randy, and thank you, Les.
Thanks, Grant.
And thank you, listeners, for all for sticking with us for 2016. We've gone through some transitions here. We've added some wonderful people.
Yay!
And Les.
Kyle's awesome. Yes. Just no, kidding. Ashley and Kyle really bring a lot to the show, and I'm here.
And we are excited to bring you guys additional new things in the coming year. Hopefully it's not all bleak.
No.
We'll see.
We're going to do The Simpsons week by week.
Yeah, no. No.
Talking real Rob.
But until then,
TV Dudes out.
The TV Dudes is an independently run podcast. It is exclusively listener supported. If you'd like to help us out, go to patreon.com/TV Dudes. You can like us on Facebook and on Twitter at TV Dudes, and help us out on iTunes by giving us a 5-star rating and writing a review. To find out more about us, go to thetvdudes.com. I'm Grant Davis. Thanks for listening.